Hi, my name's Paul, and I'm a believer who struggles to appreciate all the grace that God has given me. Congratulations on making it to the 10th topic this session. Forgiveness is such an important topic that I've had the thought in the past that they should put it earlier in the curriculum, but then early in the curriculum, nobody's much in favor of forgiveness, so maybe they're doing the right thing by having it where they have it. May I pray for us? Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, and thank you for loving us where we are. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, if I tell you a story about what someone else has done in their life, that's a biography. If I tell you a story about what I've done in my life, it's an autobiography. If I tell you a story about what God has done in my life, that's a testimony. This is a testimony. This is my testimony. I grew up in a family that was very active in our local church. My parents had been married for 64 years when my mother died last spring. I held leadership positions in my youth fellowship and was president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the high school. I even said a prayer on television when the church service was televised when I was in high school. And yes, they did have television in 1965. However, when I went away to college, I fell away from the faith in a very short time. I believed the lie that science could supply the answers that faith could not. I remember regarding Christians as weak-minded hypocrites who weren't able to make it through life without the crutch that religion could be, and that they didn't live their lives like they claimed to believe. After college, I got married and basically only went to church when I was back home, and then only when I couldn't get out of it. I was married for 22 years and have two daughters, both who are now in their 30s. As my marriage went along, I did not feel that my wife was affirming me in the way that I thought she should. So I sought that affirmation outside of our marriage. I think saying it that way sounds better than saying I had a series of affairs with a number of other women, don't you? In 1996, I reconnected with a woman I'd dated in college, and we decided that we should divorce our spouses and marry each other, which we did in 1997. God was not part of our marriage in the early days, and though we got along, there were issues with children, visitation and custody, and we were accused of being bad influences on the children because we did not attend church. So in 2000, we started looking for a church, not because we wanted a relationship with God, but because we wanted to look better in the eyes of the court. After visiting a number of churches that didn't seem to be a good fit, we happened upon Watermark in the days when there was just one service at Lake Highlands High School. We liked the casual dress and the up-tempo music, but then I was drawn in by Todd's teaching, and especially by his statement that we could ask any question, because if the Bible is what it claims to be, then no amount of scrutiny can affect it. Then we got in a community group with a group of young people who were living their lives faithfully as the Bible said they should. So I lost both of my earlier objections when I found out that Christians did not need to be either weak-minded or hypocrites. So, to review, in 2000, I have walked away from the faith, been an adulterer, divorced, remarried outside the church, and was trying to use the church to make myself look better in the eyes of the court. Isn't that a great resume to present to God? You know, if you had told me then that I would now be a fully devoted follower of Christ, reading my Bible daily, going to Bible studies, memorizing scriptures, serving a church, and giving my testimony in front of a group of people, I'd have laughed at you and called you crazy. When Lonnie asked me to give my testimony during the week of forgiveness, I told him I was an expert at forgiveness because God has forgiven me so much. The longer I've walked with Christ, the more I've learned about the value of forgiveness. And these divorce care sessions were part of that. I found that it was not enough just to be a recipient of forgiveness, but that I'm called to extend forgiveness to others as well. I'll bet that most of us in this room have memorized the Lord's Prayer at some time. But have you ever looked at the next two verses after that in Matthew 6:14 and 15, which says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This doesn't mean that we can't be saved from our sins, but it does mean that we can't walk in fellowship with God unless we do forgive others. I still get chills when I think about that verse. Forgiveness is not a suggestion. It's a command. Forgiveness is hard. If you'd not been wrong, there wouldn't be anything to forgive. But God does not give us commands without giving us the strength to obey his commands. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." As I've walked with Christ, he's taught me that my need for affirmation that I mentioned earlier was a reflection of my self-image being found in the approval of other people rather than in knowing that the God of the universe loves me and cares for me. Now my self-esteem is not too high because I know that I'm so wicked and sinful that Christ had to come to earth to die for my sins, and it's not too low because I know that Christ was willing to do that for me. This has allowed me to forgive my ex-wife, which has been a blessing to me since I'm no longer trying to punish her, and a blessing to my children as well, because my ex-wife and I are able to be at the same place together without the tension and strife that people sometimes have. Remember, if you have children, your ex-spouse will be in your life. There'll be graduations, there'll be weddings, births of grandchildren, and other events. And Romans 12:18 says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all," which is hard, but it's even harder without forgiveness. One of the key things that this lesson has taught me is that forgiveness is a vertical relationship. It's between you and God. It doesn't have to involve the other person directly. Reconciliation, the future lesson, involves both parties. But while I did ask my ex-wife for her forgiveness, I did not feel a need to tell her that I'd forgiven her. But as I mentioned, the reality of my forgiveness toward her has been a blessing to the family. Another lesson that I found helpful is that forgiveness is separate from trust. Just because you forgive someone does not mean that you have to continue to place yourself in a position for them to continue to sin against you and hurt you. They have to earn the right to be trusted again, and that's a process involving both parties. But I do think that if you have forgiven someone, you will give them the opportunity to earn that trust back. For example, if your spouse had an affair, forgiveness does not mean that you have to welcome them back with open arms if they choose not to give up having adulterous relationships. That wouldn't make any sense. But if your spouse is broken by their sin with godly sorrow that leads to repentance by the grace of God with time, perhaps what has been broken may be restored. Again, I've been blessed because I've been forgiven by God, and I've been blessed because I've forgiven others. Forgiveness means that I've given up my need to punish the other person, that I'll allow God to do the job that's his alone. Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." I've been forgiven much and really have no other choice but to forgive. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I need that forgiveness, and I need to extend that forgiveness to others as well. And as I was thinking about how awesome God's grace is and how far-reaching it is, it occurred to me that the forgiveness in my story is having a beneficial effect on some of your lives as well. The disruption that Betsy and I caused our families through the divorce and subsequent remarriage was very hurtful to our children. But as a result of my stepson Blake being able to forgive his mother and me, he's now serving as a leader in divorce care for teens, so he's currently blessing some of your families as well. We're humbled by God's grace and goodness. Our God is awesome. Thank you for letting me share, and if I've gone on too long, please forgive me.